Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31. You know, most of the story is given through the rich man's eyes. However, I believe there are some very important aspects of Lazarus, which we need to look at, and I feel we can use them for our own lives, or Jesus wouldn't have brought this parable to us at all. Now, many of you know the story of the rich man and Lazarus. We're going to go through a little bit of it, but I want to look at it from the aspect of Lazarus rather than the rich man and the story that way. But if we take any look at verse 20, we'll start there. It says, "And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at the gate full of sores." Now here we see that Lazarus was a very poor person. Lazarus did not have a whole lot in life. He lived his life begging for whatever could be given to him. More than likely, he sat by the gate and with a little box or a can and asked for alms and asked for things that way. More than likely, he was a street person, which we would call him today. He did not have a home to go to at night. He may have had to sleep in a cardboard box at night or something like that. He had no shelter. He had no place to keep him warm. You know, Lazarus was much like so many people today who have lost their homes and have really nowhere to live at all. You know, but he sat at the gate of the city trying to panhandle for enough to keep him alive from day to day. You know, there are many today who stand at street corners and beg, you know, for money, and many of them are legit to where they really need something. But you know, there's a lot of them today that are there that just do it because they're too lazy to work. Some years ago, I when I was working for Pastor Hughes at East Mesa Food Bank, I had a guy that was riding with me in the truck, and he had a bicycle, and his corner was at Ellsworth and 60. He stood there every day at Ellsworth and 60, and he had a box, and he people would go by, and they'd put change in it, they'd put dollar bills in it and stuff like that. And I said to him one day, I said, "Why don't you get a job?" I said, "You're healthy enough to work. Why don't you get a job?" He says, "I have one." I said, "What do you mean you have a job?" I said, "All you do is stand there and beg for money." He goes, "Well," he says, "that's my job." And so we got done with the food bank that day, and he said, "You mind give me a ride home?" I said, "Sure." So I put his bicycle in the back of my truck, and we went up Ellsworth Road up on Usury Mountain up there. He said, "Okay, take a right." I took a right, and back in here were all these beautiful houses. I mean, these houses were half, three-quarters of $1 million. They were just gorgeous houses, beautiful houses. He says, "Okay." He says, "Take a left into this house." So I pulled into this driveway, and he got out, and he went around, and he punched a code in, and the gate came open, and he got back in. We drove in, and I said, "Man, who lives here?" He says, "I do." I said, "What do you mean you do?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "This is my house." He says, I looked at him. I said, "What?" He goes, "Yeah." He says, "This is where I live." He says, "Come on, I'll show you around." So I got out, went in the house. It was one of the most beautiful homes I've ever seen in my life. I mean, they had huge hand-painted pictures all over the house. He had, went out back, he had a great big swimming pool out in the back. He had, I mean, you name it, he had it. I mean, it was gorgeous. I mean, the house was probably $750,000 at least. And I said to him, I said, "Who owns this?" He says, "I do." I said, "You own this house?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "How did you buy this house?" He says, "I paid cash for it." I said, "What?" I said, "Where did you ever work?" He says, "Well, same job I work at now." And I said, "I'm not following you." He said, "Let me tell you something." He said, "I don't tell many people this, but," he said, "I work 7 days a week." No, he said, "I work 5 days a week. I don't work Saturdays and Sundays. He says, Monday through Friday, I stand there on Ellsworth Road. He says, I will make, on an average day, just an average day, $500. $500 a day. He said, during the holidays, he says, it's not unusual for me to take home $5,000 to $10,000 a day. Just standing there. He says, I don't solicit money. He says, I just stand there. He said, I wear these clothes. And so we went into the, he says, here, I'll show you my cars. We went into his garage, and he had a brand new BMW in there, and he had a brand new Cadillac sitting in there, Escalade. Beautiful, beautiful cars. He said, none of them have over 500 miles on them. He said, just bought them this year. Every year, he says, I trade them, get a new one. But I'm thinking to myself, you talk about a scammer. You know what I mean? To me, that's scamming money. But to him, it was a job. He made more standing at that street corner, you know, with a box than most people make 2 or 3 years working. And I got to thinking about that, and I thought, I wonder how many others are like that, that are standing at the street corner and doing that. You know, when people are standing begging for money, you know what I give them? I give them a track. Say, here, this is better than money. You know, I remember the story in the Bible where Peter and John were coming into the temple, and there was a guy out begging for money. And Peter says, silver and gold have we none, but we can give you something better than that. We can take and show you how to be saved. And that's what they did. But you know, here's Lazarus, and this guy really needed money. He needed to have something to keep him going. Now, also in that, if you take any look at the rest of verse 2, it says, or verse 20, it says, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus who laid at the gate full of what? Sores. Hey, this guy was sick. This guy, yes, sir. That's Luke chapter 16, verse 20. He had sores all over his body. You know, they were probably open sores and weeping. There were many who felt that Lazarus may have had some kind of cancer. More than likely, they were itchy and they were just smelly and stinky. And Lazarus was in pain probably most of the day and night because of the sores. There's some who said that he could have had the same sores or similar sores to what Job had. Remember when God allowed Satan to touch Job's body, and he had sores from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet? Well, many feel that Lazarus could have had similar sores to that, where they just oozed and they were just terrible. But you know, he had a desire in life. Look at verse 21 of chapter 16. It says, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell off the rich man's table, moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, if that isn't gross, I don't know what is. You know, here we see that his desire was to be fed of the crumbs that fell off the rich man's table. You know, he didn't have a desire to have wealth or happiness. You know, all he wanted was something to fill his stomach so that he could make it from day to day. He just wanted just a little bit of meat, just a little bit of crumbs of bread, so to speak, that fell off the rich man's table. That's all he wanted. And I'm sure that the dogs were there trying to eat right alongside him. And whoever was stronger got him. But it says that the dogs licked his sores. So that means that they had to be oozing. That means they had to be, pus running out of them. And here we see that I don't believe that there was a lot of food which fell from the rich man's table. However, Lazarus had the desire to be fed with whatever was dropped on the ground. You know, maybe there was a time in Lazarus' life that he had desires for other things. Maybe he had a desire for a big house. Maybe he had desire for a two-horse chariot or a three-horse chariot. You know what I mean? You know, like people do today. You know, maybe he had desires to have a wife and children. You know, maybe he had these desires. But now all he desired was to take and be fed off the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. In verse 22, it says that he died. And it says it came to pass that the beggar died, meaning Lazarus, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. Now, here we see the poor beggar dying, or Lazarus dying. We do not know what he died from. It could have been from infection. It could have been from the sores that he had, or maybe he had a bad heart, or maybe it was just from old age. We really don't know why he died. Jesus did not put in this parable why he died. You know, there's no reason that we really need to know what caused his death, other than that he died. You know, the Bible says that we all one day are going to die. In Hebrews 9:27, it says, "And it was appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment." You know, all of us one day are going to die. We have no hope of ever living in this earthly body forever. We see not only that Lazarus died, but also the rich man died. Now, it doesn't matter how much money we have. It doesn't matter how wealthy we are. It doesn't matter how famous we are. It doesn't matter what we do in life, if we're poor, whatever. Do you know that every one of us are going to die someday? Every one of us. If the rapture doesn't come, every one of us are going to die someday. You know, even great King Solomon realized that one day all will go to the same place. All of us. Doesn't matter who we are. We're all going to go to the same place, and that's the grave. We're all going to die one day. But you know, it's interesting to me. Look at verse 22 again. It says, "And it came to pass, the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom." Now, I find that very interesting in that Abraham's bosom at that time period was called paradise. Now, why was it he was carried to paradise instead of being carried directly into heaven? Jesus had not died, had not been buried, and had not risen the third day according to the scripture. So here we see that Lazarus was carried into Abraham's bosom or paradise by the angels. Now, Lazarus could not go directly to heaven because Jesus hadn't died, but notice that he was carried there by what? Angels. He was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. I mean, that to me says a lot. That means that Lazarus knew God and that he worshiped him and him alone. You know, he probably went to the temple every time the temple doors were open. He prayed probably all the times. He knew what the law of Moses was, and he tried to keep all the commandments he could. He did all that he could to please God. Even though he was poor, even though he was a beggar, even though he didn't have a lot of money, even though he wasn't rich and famous, he did everything that he possibly could to please God. And you know, because Lazarus was faithful in believing in God, even though he had went through some really tough times, God was faithful to him, and he sent angels to carry him into eternity. I mean, that is just really, I think, really cool. You know, if we're faithful in accepting Christ as our personal Savior, we too will spend all eternity in heaven. You know, what a comforting thought that is, to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. Now, you know, look at the rest of that verse. It says the rich man died and was what? Buried. He was buried. What happened to his body? It just went into the ground. It just got dirt thrown over the top of it. It doesn't say that he was carried by angels, does it? Even though he had lots of money, even though he might have gave a lot to the church, even though he might have done everything that he could, you know, to buy his way into heaven, he was just buried. That's all it was. He was just buried. The fourth thing I see is Lazarus was comforted. Look at verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Here we see that this rich man, being in hell, he looked up and he saw Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. Lazarus is being comforted. You know, this may have been the first time in all of Lazarus' life that he was without sores and in pain, and not in pain. This might have been the first time in a long time he did not have hunger pains anymore. And now all of a sudden the rich man, he looks up in the up towards heaven and he sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom, and he's comforted. And here's the rich man in pain, in a flame. He's burning and burning and burning. You know, Lazarus, though he had a hard while he was here on the earth, and the rich man had everything that he wanted on his table, the tables all of a sudden are turned. Now, Lazarus is comforted, and the rich man is tormented. The rich man is tormented, burning in the fire of hell, and Lazarus is in comfort of the Lord. You know, God does not promise us a rose garden after we're saved. Did you know that? Just because we get saved, that does not mean that we're going to be on Easy Street the rest of our life. You know, there's still going to be bumps in the road. There's still going to be temptations that go on. This last week, I was really kind of grieved in that a guy I've known for about 30 years since we moved here, or 20 years since we moved here to Arizona, was charged with child molestation. He was he drove a church bus for over 20 years, every Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning, he'd get on that bus and go pick kids up. I know 20 years ago, him and I were on the same buses together. And I was a bus captain. He was a bus captain. And we'd have contests to see who could get the most kids on their bus. But, you know, God never promised us that there wouldn't be problems in our lives. You know, do you know that Satan still tempts us? Do you know that there's temptations every day that come into everybody's life? You know, even though we're saved, even though we're on our way to heaven, there's still temptations that enter our lives that I wish they wouldn't, but they do. And I'm sure that when Lazarus was living, there was many temptations that came into his life. He could have went out and stole. He could have went out and had a better life for himself somehow. But he didn't. He lived a life that was honoring and glorifying to God. But you know, God never promised a rose garden after we've been saved. And he does not promise us we're going to have a life free from pain and sorrow while we live in this fleshly body. However, he does promise us eternal life. If you can't say amen to that, you can't say amen to anything. He does promise us eternal life, which will be free of pain and sorrow. Revelation 21:4 says this, "For God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Even though we go through struggles in our life and we feel God is so far away, we need to realize if we are faithful to Him and do as He says, one day we're going to have the peace that passes all understanding. You know, I like that song, you know, we sing once in a while. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. I've got down in my heart Tuesday. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart Tuesday. You know, if we would take and only think about that, I guarantee that our life would be a whole lot better. Knowing that the Prince of Peace is going to be give us the peace that we need in our life. You know, He doesn't promise us a pain-free life while we're here on earth. Revelation 21:4 says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. You know, I can hardly wait to get to heaven. I don't have to wake up in the morning and think to myself, oh man, my back is hurting so bad today, I can hardly stand it. Oh, pain and agony on me, you know what I mean? And we need to realize is one day all that's going to be gone, all that's going to be done away with. You know, even though we go through the struggles of this life and we feel God many times might be so far away, we need to realize that if we're faithful to Him and do as He says, one day we're going to have that peace. Lazarus did everything in his power to stay alive while he was here on this earth. You know, it may seem like God did not help him while he was on this life, on this earth. You know, after all, let's face it, Lazarus more than likely prayed every day that God would supply his every need. Maybe Lazarus said, God, I'm so hungry. My stomach is growling. I need something to eat. Maybe that day he went to the rich man's table and the rich man accidentally dropped a loaf of bread on the floor. And Lazarus had a little more to eat. You know, Lazarus may have done everything that he possibly could to sustain life. And it may seem like God didn't help him. However, he was with him all the way. You know, when his life was over, he had the comfort that he longed for all the time he was here on this earth. And you know, that's what we need to look forward to, is one day we're going to have the comfort, the painless life for all eternity. And I'll tell you what, it's going to be great. You know, it matters not how hard we have it in this world, how much pain and suffering, heartache we go through. We have one day that we're going to take and see the Lord, and He's going to lead us into everlasting bliss. Lazarus may not have had much in this world as the world sees it. However, his heavenly reward was great. You know, let's face it, he got to paradise. After he was in paradise, he only had to wait about a year and he was in heaven. He had eternal bliss in paradise, no worries, no pain, nothing. Then all of a sudden, Christ died on the cross, went into paradise, and led the captive free into heaven. You know, the rich man found out what all was going on. You know, think about him for just a minute. It says that if you go back to verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. This rich man had everything in life that he wanted. If he wanted to buy a new chariot, he went out and bought a new chariot. If he wanted a bigger boat, he went out and bought a bigger boat. If he wanted an airplane, he went out and bought an airplane. Whatever he wanted, he bought. It says that he dressed in purple. The word purple in the Bible means kingship, or it means someone of royalty. So here we see that this rich man was a royalty person. He was someone who was very important. He had lots of money. He could buy anything that he wanted. But you know what? When he died, what good was the things that he had here on this earth? You know, Solomon said one thing. He said, I can take nothing to the grave with me. Nothing. Do you know that we can't take anything with us when we die? I read something on the internet the other day, and this guy in Las Vegas died. And this is what he wanted. He had a 1954 Cadillac, mint condition. The thing was worth probably, half or three-quarters of $1 million. Everything was original on it. And this is what he wanted. He wanted to be buried in that Cadillac. So you know what? He died. And you know what they did? They dug a hole big enough for that car, and they put him in the front seat of that car, propped him up in the front seat of the car, and they buried that Cadillac. They buried it. And then they covered it up. What good is that Cadillac in a hole? Covered up by dirt. Absolutely nothing. About a year later, somebody went and dug the Cadillac back up, pulled the Cadillac out of there, threw him back in the hole and filled it back in again. Guess what? The Cadillac was still in the hole. We can't take anything with us. The only thing that is for sure is our salvation. That's the only thing there is in life that's sure. And nobody can take that away from us. We need to keep eternity value in view and forget about what we feel we need to get in this world. You know, how many of you have ever gotten something and you thought, oh man, I want this so bad. If I could only have this, I believe that my life would be so much better. Have you ever done that? I have. And then as soon as we get it, we think to ourselves, you know what? That didn't fulfill anything in my life. That did not fulfill one thing that I thought it would fulfill in my life. I still have the same desires in my life that I had before. We're never satisfied with what we have because we always want more, more, more. You know, Lazarus, I believe that he was satisfied with just getting the crumbs off the table of the rich man because it sustained his life. But one day, when he was called to paradise, he said to himself, hey, I'm home. I'm home. What a great day that'll be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me to the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for all you've done for us. Thank you for your love. I pray now that you'll guide and direct us, be at the church service. Pray that everything will be according to your perfect will. I just pray for those who are on their way. I just pray, Lord, to give them safety. And we'll give you praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to start church. I let you out a little bit early. We'll start church in about 15 minutes.